ago. Bill Hendry.
877-877-6-7-4-4-5, and welcome here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show for another festival of weird every night here until 2 a.m. And, of course, we are online at philhendryshow.com, live from the El Pacifico, our El Pacifico studios here at the very further western edge of the United States. Tonight, we're going to have Justin McElroy joining us and possibly R.C. Collins. Justin is a high school senior at L.A. Canyon High School, to talk about the appearance of Clint Eastwood during the Republican National Convention tonight. Mr. Eastwood, the actor-director, gave what I thought was a charming speech, an enjoyable speech. It was filled with all kinds of humor, not the least of which was him conversing with an empty chair that represented President Barack Obama. So that was pretty funny, huh, bud?
Yeah, that was having fun with it. I don't think it's funny at all.
Why didn't you think it was funny?
You didn't get a sense of humor about it.
I got a sense of humor, but he's talking about Obama being like he's not even there or something.
Well, I mean, that's the political season, man. You know, you start to kind of take a couple of jabs, even though he is our president. You take a few jabs at the guy because in the eyes of Republicans, that's their symbolic way of saying the guy's been absent from the job, you know.
Yeah, well, I just don't think it's funny.
I do think it's funny.
Yeah, well, I don't.
And I do.
Okay, I don't.
All right, fine. I mean, you guys are going to have to agree to disagree, you know?
Is that what that means when you say agree to disagree or whatever?
No, agree to disagree.
Yeah, that's pretty much what it means. It means you're not going to convince each other. You're going to go back and forth like a couple of idiots all night long. So just stop while the stopping's good and let's move on, okay? You guys have your opinion. That's where that's at. A couple of bits of housekeeping, and then we're going to get into our discussion here with young Mr. McElroy. Number one, we have episode 37 of the Free Phil Hendry podcast is out today. Go to philhendryradio.com or go to the banner at philhendryshow.com or go to iTunes or go to, you know, the Free Phil Hendry podcast. It is our free offering, a podcast, this one from March of 2000, when Bobby and Steve Dooley decided to, quote, gay-proof, end of quote, their home, because they thought their son, Seth, was in danger of becoming a gay. So that's our Free Phil Hendry podcast that is out today. The Milwaukee Lions open their season on September the 3rd, this coming Monday, against the New York Pets, live at Duckworth Memorial in Milwaukee. Game time is at 1 p.m. Central Daylight Time. And we'll have the radio call, the Wang radio call, with Jack Igagdor and Brett Morrison beginning at 1 o'clock on Phil TV in HD. That'll be the live radio call. And then, as you know, we have the Lions games after that are available as a download at our website, philhendryshow.com. Coming up on Tuesday, the best of Bobby Dooley. It is a series that we call the Ever So Best of Bobby Dooley. Will be available in our shop. It will be a download of all of the great cuts that were selected by our backstage pass holders as chosen by the BSPs. So that is also on the way, and other fun and frivolity. So let's get to what it is that we were going to be talking here tonight about. And we have with us Justin McElroy again from L.A. Canyon High School. He's also obviously a young man living with his parents. Justin, what is your father's name?
My dad's name is Robert.
Robert, and your mother?
Yeah, and my mother's name is Eleanor.
Okay, and what does your father do?
My father's an accountant for Virtual, which is it's a travel agency and tour company, but it's also they have charter jets and they charter different kind of high end or what they call expensive charters
for like vacations.
No, business and.
Oh, okay, and your father does their accounting?
Yeah, he's like a financial officer.
Like what they call a CFO?
Yes, sir.
Okay, and your mother?
My mom is at home most of the time. She does some volunteer work, but yeah.
Okay, and you're in high school, and you're entering your senior year?
Yeah, this is my senior year.
Tell me what did you watch the Republican? I know what I wanted to ask you. If you're comfortable telling me, what politically is the, in your own home, do you mind telling me what your mom and dad vote or how they vote?
Well, I wouldn't mind at all, Mr. Hendry, but I think probably my father, because I mentioned what he does for a living and everything, I don't want...
No, that's totally understandable.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to, make it tough on him, you know.
Okay, how about your mom?
My mom voted for President Obama.
Okay. Tell me what you thought of the speech by Clint Eastwood tonight.
Well, I was asked by not only you, but I was asked by our student council prefecture and the debate we're going to have. We're going to have a presidential debate at school in a couple of weeks. We started classes last week, and they asked me to watch the Republican convention, not necessarily the speech that they had, but I watched the convention and I saw Mr. Eastwood's speech, and I thought it was it was sort of not very impressive, because only because he didn't seem like he had a grasp of what he was saying.
And what do you mean by that?
Well, a lot of times he was sort of, I guess you'd say he was looking at a chair, and I know that was supposed to be a joke or something, but he looked like he really thought, to me it looked like he thought there was somebody in the chair, you know.
Now, you realize that he was talking to a fictitious or an imaginary...
Yeah, President Obama.
Right, President Obama.
Yeah, but, I mean, there were times when he was talking that I wasn't sure, you know, and I was on the phone with a couple of friends of mine who are on the... there are two friends of mine who are on the wrestling team, and one of them plays JV basketball with me, and we were all saying he looks like he's talking to, you know, I think he thinks he's talking to somebody.
So it didn't occur to you, or you don't buy that he was imagining, he was doing an imaginary thing there?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I can just tell you that I think it was kind of amusing. And I think that what President Obama has is he's got youth on his side. And and also President Obama got Osama bin Laden. And also President Obama has attacked terrorists and everything in Pakistan, and Clint Eastwood is just imaginary, you know. So I don't understand why the Republicans brought him out.
Did you think that Clint Eastwood was in other words, because he's a movie actor, you didn't get that the party thought it would be fun to have him out there as a representation of the conservative element of Hollywood? You know, in other words, Hollywood is perceived as very liberal.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And that there's a conservative element there.
Yeah. I think that it only made them look like older than the Democrats, because if you look at the Democrats that support President Obama, they're all young and they're in movies that you know that I want to see and other people that I know want to see. And Clint Eastwood, and I don't know what he mentioned another guy.
I think he said John Voight.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even know. I know John Voight is Angelina Jolie's dad, but I don't know anything else that he's done. And I think it makes the Republicans look old and like they don't even make good, you know, I mean, that the actors they like don't make good movies. And I mean, I understand how they say that Clint Eastwood is, you know, does war movies and stuff, and you know.
Yeah, Clint Eastwood's traditionally done some, you know, Dirty Harry, you know.
Yeah, a lot of the cop movies, but he didn't look like he was all that, you know. He didn't look all that hardcore tonight, and I think it just made them look like they are old and they like people that make bad movies and stuff, you know. So
you didn't think it was impressive at all, and you weren't impressed by the possibility that there is a strong conservative contingent in Hollywood?
No, because, I mean, I don't think that there are that many in Hollywood who are conservative. I think maybe Clint Eastwood and maybe the other John Voight, and that's it. So we kind of laughed about it and thought it was pretty stupid and... You know.
I guess it's safe to say that you agree more with your mother on political, and I don't know how your father votes, so I would just say that you agree pretty much with your mom, huh?
Well, yeah, I mean, I do believe in President Obama. I mean, everybody does, and I know a lot of people say that they don't think he's done a good job, but if you look at Clint Eastwood and, you know, what he was doing tonight, You know,
well, he's not running for president.
No, no, I know he's not running for president, but if you look at him and what he's representing up there, you can tell that the Republicans are really not, I don't think they know what they're doing, you know, and that Romney is going to lose.
Based upon the fact they had Clint Eastwood talking.
Well, I mean, Clint Eastwood represents the just how old, how, you know, the Republicans are.
All right, we got with us here. Okay, hang on, will you, Justin?
I'm sorry?
Can you hang on?
Yes, sir.
Okay, Justin McElroy from L.A. Canyon College. Our guest here this evening as he talks with us about Clint Eastwood's speech tonight before the Republican National Convention didn't impress him. He said that it made the Republicans look old. It made them look like they... It made Clint Eastwood look like he was a little bit senile talking to an empty chair, even though what he was doing was obvious theater. Our number is 877-876-7445. Would you agree with Justin or disagree with him? 877-876-7445. As we continue our discussion and coverage of the Republican National Convention in Tampa, Margaret Gray has been covering it as well for us this week. And we'll be back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-7445. We have Justin McElroy on the line. We have Margaret Gray joining us, who's been covering the Republican National Convention. I wanted to ask you very quickly, before we bring Margaret on, Justin, what you're telling me is that Clint Eastwood appeared to be senile, but you're not saying he is?
I don't know, Mr. Hendry. I don't know. I don't think Mr. Eastwood is senile necessarily, but I think that he looked really sort of lame and out of step, you know, and he's talking to an empty chair. And I know what you were saying about him joking about it, but I think that it was pretty embarrassing, and I don't think that it was funny or anything. And I think that if President Obama in his convention, when they have, like, a movie star go on stage for President Obama, it will be probably someone who's younger and way more, you know, way more funny and way more interesting to be up there, you know. So
it's a big dud.
I'm sorry?
It was a big dud having Clint Eastwood up there.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was no question. It's lost, you know, them. It just made them look really stupid.
All right, Margaret, do you have a feeling on the Eastwood story?
I'm going to try to be kind. I think Clint Eastwood, at one point, was one of our great directors. Unforgiven, as you know, Phil, one of the great triumphs of Clint Eastwood. His Million Dollar Baby was outstanding. He has made Letters from Iwo Jima was outstanding. I think Flags of Our Fathers was a little jingoistic, and I think a bit on the right-wing edge of things, the flag-waving and that nonsense. But I think when he made Letters from Iwo Jima, where he was at least trying to show the Japanese point of view, I think was very refreshing. I think it was very unexpected from a Clint Eastwood. That's why when I did see Clint Eastwood on stage this evening, making, I think, a little bit of an ass of himself, and forgive me for using that word.
Well, that's a strong word, isn't it?
I don't think it is, Mr. Hendry.
Is that you, Justin?
Yeah. I'm sorry. No, go ahead. I don't think that was a strong word. I think he made like an ass of himself. I think he did make a bit of an ass of himself as he was talking to that empty chair, but what I wanted to mention, Phil, this evening was I was on to talk about something else, and now I've completely forgotten what it is.
I'm sorry, I sidetracked you, and I had you talk about the Eastwood appearance.
You know, that is maddening. I'm so sorry. I've completely forgotten what it is I wanted to talk about. I've completely forgotten.
Well, do you want to just hang on, and you'll remember?
This is very embarrassing.
Well, I don't know what it was that you wanted to talk about. I knew that you were going to talk about the convention.
Yes, I was, but I don't know what it is I wanted to talk about. I can keep going, Mr. Henry, if you want me to.
I think you're going to have to. All right, Margaret, hang on, okay?
Well, I apologize. So, my mom was saying that President Obama would be a better choice for President of the United States, just based solely on the fact that he wouldn't make a total, you know, boob out of himself and have an old actor up there and everything.
Okay, you know, Justin, thanks a lot. Would you find out what Ms. Gray wants to talk about? Because
yeah, I'm gonna find it right now.
I don't know what it is. She didn't tell anybody.
All I know is she was gonna talk about something having to do with the convention. Go ahead, Justin.
Well, I'm not really that's all I wanted to say too.
Okay, well, somebody's got. All right, I tell you what. You hang on, all right?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Okay, so we've had two guests that have just suddenly run out of something to say. Our number is 877-876-7445. What did she want to say?
Yeah, Ms. Gray. She still can't remember.
Yeah.
She still can't remember. Maybe she ought to hang the phone up and go talk to her husband or something like that.
Ms. Gray, you want to go talk to Frank about? Yeah, go and talk to Frank about. She don't want him. She want to stay on and think about it.
All right, let her stay on the line here. 877-876-7445, the world-famous Phil Henry Show here, talking about this evening's Republican National Convention appearance by Clint Eastwood. And Mitt Romney, of course, followed up with his keynote speech as well, accepting the nomination for President of the United States by the Republican Party. And we are going to have Margaret review that as well. The world-famous Phil Henry Show, our number 877-876-7445. We're online at philhenryshow.com, at philhenryshow.com with live streaming video of our show as well as live streaming audio. And, of course, you can get a backstage pass and check out all of that marvelous stuff by joining us at the Phil Henry Show website. We also have a new episode of our podcast that is out and about, and we invite you to access that. So she
no, she still doesn't remember.
You know something, man? Why don't you get these people to tell us ahead of time what it is they're going to talk about?
Yeah, but that way they would get nervous.
Yeah, but here I am sitting here like a jackass with two guests scheduled for the first half hour, and one of them ran out of stuff to talk about, and the other one doesn't know what it is they want to talk about. You understand how jacked up that is?
Yeah, that is pretty jacked up, man.
Actor and director Clint Eastwood made the day of the GOP faithful at the Republican National Convention when he was talking to an empty chair. He gave a surprise speech Thursday night in which he laid out what he sees as good, the bad, and the ugly state of affairs, political affairs. And he did it all while addressing an invisible chair. Let's get Ms. Gray. Does she know?
No, she doesn't, but she wants to come on because she thought of something else she wants to talk about.
She thought of something else she wants to talk about. All right, let's get... Margaret Gray joining us again. I said to Buddy, needs to get from you what it is you want to talk about.
Well, I Phil, first of all, yes, he should have asked me what I wanted to talk about in case I forgot, which I did forget. But I now remember something else I wanted to talk about, and that is, oh, God, I don't believe it.
Do you need to take some vitamins or something?
No, I don't need vitamins, and I know where you're going with that. Hold on for a minute.
What are you just told me.
What did she tell you?
I forget.
Well, what did I just tell you?
Are you two people kidding me? Hold on.
Well, wait a minute, Phil.
All right, I'm going to start talking about it. How about that?
Yeah, I think you are probably more interested than one of those other people.
Okay. Here's what I thought of Clint Eastwood's speech. I thought it was a lot of fun. I had a ball with it. I thought he was great. I thought it was exciting to see a guy like Clint Eastwood, who we identify with the man with no name, the Dirty Harry character, William Money, the character in Unforgiven, the guy who goes out and he's just going to take a job as a gunfighter and he finds a sense of morality that he didn't know he had. And he goes out and he slaughters up the whole town in the name of that poor young woman who was caught up by those cowboys. That's the Clint Eastwood that people enjoy, that character. And that's the guy that gave the address tonight. It was fun. He was talking to the empty chair. I don't think it bespoke any senility whatsoever. There, that's what I think. I apologize that I've got Margaret Gray and this kid, Justin McElroy, and both of them forgot what it was they wanted to talk about. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Man.
Oh, come on, Phil.
What did you want to talk about?
I don't remember.
Phil,
I'm sorry.
Phil Hendry. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
I am told that Margaret Gray has now recollected what it was that she wanted to jump on the air about. Margaret, do you remember?
Bill, I apologize. I wanted to talk about this Prince Harry controversy about apparently him posing naked. Not posing naked, but he was photographed naked in Las Vegas. And I had some very, very stinging and very biting commentary on that.
All right, let's take some phone calls talking about Clint Eastwood. 877-877-6744-5. Both Margaret and Justin McElroy, our young high school student, thought that it was an embarrassing display, one that bordered on, I suppose, the senile. And here is a gentleman on the line. Sir, what is your name?
Michael.
Michael, go ahead. You're on with Margaret Gray.
Well, I think that Clint Eastwood, basically what he talked about was okay, but he did make kind of an ass out of himself and did sound kind of stupid, not quite as stupid as this talk show's host does on a daily basis, but, I mean, still...
Well, I appreciate that, I'm sure you did, Dan. You'll find that there are a great many talk show hosts that make asses out of themselves. And there are a great many people, I think, Phil, from time to time, not just yourself.
Well, that guy telling me that I'd make an ass out of myself, how?
Well, because I think you take some political standpoints that are wrong. I also think that because you do not do the typical kind of right-wing show that I do appreciate a guy like that who is willing to...
All right, now that we don't have to get into that kind of commentary. We're just talking about whether I suck or whether I don't.
No, Phil, I think that you are typically right-wing yourself, but you're a little more refreshing given the fact that you are, you do a satirical show. Now, the band that you were just talking to probably is, I'm still on the air, Phil, and you just...
Now I did. How's that? 877-876-7445. Justin, getting back to you, because we were going to talk to that woman about her take on Prince Harry, and it ain't going to happen now. Justin, you just heard Margaret Gray's take on the Clint Eastwood speech. You agree with that. Anything else you want to add?
Well, I just wanted to add that you're right. I think a lot of talk show callers want a nurse at the genitalia.
All right, so that's the end of that. That's great. 877-876.
What do you do?
I hung up on both of those idiots, okay? They're talking about things that we're going to take a fine for, a big fine. No. No.
But like God said, you're big an ass of yourself.
Why? Because I'm not talking right-wing politics all the time? Because I'm doing something other than doing a regular talk show here on the air? Yeah, okay. The fact of the matter is, that guy listens to me every night, as do many of my detractors. The fact is, he's still hanging on the line. I can see his little line blinking. He's just sitting there. This guy has nothing more to do tonight than to sit on that line and wait for me to pick up. He's waiting for me to give him orders, as is the guy on line one. These are individuals who have a pathological need for my approval, and I'm not going to give it to them. I'm going to make them sit there. Oh, he hung up now. He just hung up because he doesn't want it to appear as if he has a pathological need to... I don't know, be my wife, be my younger sister, be my...
Yeah, but, you know, that's the whole thing, man, about how you're still right-wing.
I'm not right-wing, man. I have more conservative views, maybe, than the average person, but I'm not right-wing. How can you call me right-wing if I voted for Obama?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Because now you are going more right wing, I think. Oh, I'm going more right wing now.
Let me get on the line here with R.C. Collins from Bradley Military Academy from Alhambra, California. We're going to talk with him a little bit here this evening about this speech by Clint Eastwood about the Republican National Convention, getting the youth point of view. R.C., how are you doing?
Well, I'm doing pretty good, Mr. Henry, and I did want to call in earlier, but I wish that I had called in earlier.
Well, we did have the other guests on.
Well, yeah, you had the other guests on, but you didn't have... what I would call a counterbalancing point of view on.
Well, what are so you like the Eastwood speech?
I did like the Clint Eastwood speech. I don't know. I'm not familiar with much of his movies. I know he did a lot of movies. Like my dad and everyone, they like his movies. I don't know a lot about it, but I do know that he did like Gran Torino. That was pretty good, and some other movies like that. And also he. I think he believes in a strong America, and that's also important, too. So when you had that one kid on, and I forget his name, but he was on, he was talking a lot of, I just think he was talking a lot of crap about Clint Eastwood, you know, and by extension Mitt Romney, and I really wanted to talk to him.
We were talking to Justin McElroy.
Yeah, that kid was on... a few minutes ago, and I don't know if he's still there or not.
No, we hung up on him because there was a great deal of vulgar talk about things that we didn't want to have on the air.
Well, I was... let me just say this, then, to him, if he's still listening, Mr. McElroy or Justin McElroy, this guy. Hey, kid, first of all, you know what? You sounded like an idiot. You sound like you don't know... You don't sound like you're sure of what you want to say. You're all and so you sounded stupid that way. You also, so what if you don't know who Clint Eastwood is? And it doesn't make him senile. If you don't understand that he was talking to an empty chair to show what Mr. Henry said, that Obama is like an empty suit, then you're pretty stupid, you know?
Well, now just to be fair, I didn't call Obama an empty suit. I said that's what he represented to the Republicans.
No, yeah, that's what I mean.
Okay.
But I mean, I'm to the kid that called in. If you don't know that, you're also stupid. And I just think you just sounded like an idiot.
All right. I don't know if Justin McElroy is still out there. If you make a pledge to my screener and myself that you clean your act up, Justin, we'd be very happy to have you back on the show, and you can engage R.C. Collins on this topic. R.C., you are a 17-year-old cadet at Bradley Military Academy, so you're a young man, but you're not a typically liberal young person. You're not an Obama supporter. You didn't stuff envelopes and walk the streets, you know, signing people up to vote for Obama. You're a conservative, or at least you are a Republican candidate fan, Mitt Romney. Is that mostly based upon national defense?
Yes, sir. You know, there's a lot of young people like myself that don't want to see America turned into, you know, like the world's, you know, I mean, I'm sorry to use language, but I mean, we don't want to see our country turned into, you know, Saudi Arabia's bitch and Iran's bitch and all of this. And that's what, in my opinion, Obama's doing. He's turning us into Iran's bitch. And
now, what do you say to people who argue that America being the middle, you know, Saudi Arabia's bitch or Iran's bitch has to do with oil, and that started with the more conservative administrations?
No, that's not true, because we've been pulling oil out of the Middle East since the 1930s, and if memory serves, then, and in our world history class, then that's Franklin Roosevelt. That's Franklin Roosevelt, and he was a Democrat. So, you know, you're going to have to take another run at that one, you know, because that's not, you can pull the sail up on that, but you're not going to get under speed, you know, so that's not going to happen. But I think it's you know, yeah, America's been reliant upon the oil supply, and we got to stop it, and we got to stop it now.
Okay, we got to stop it, and we got to stop it now. But you can't hardly blame Obama for making us reliant on Middle Eastern oil.
No, you can't blame Obama for it, but you can blame him for making us the bitch of the Middle East. And
how did he make us the bitch of the Middle East?
Because he was because he wouldn't invade Iran and because he wouldn't invade Pakistan.
Didn't he kill bin Laden?
Yeah, he killed bin Laden, but so would any other president for that matter. That was a no-brainer. Anybody would have done that. Anybody knows that anybody would have done that. Mitt Romney would have done it. He would have done it. And Dan Quayle would have done it. John McCain would have done it. Name any president would have done it.
What about John Kerry?
Who?
John Kerry, who ran against President Bush.
I don't know. Maybe he would have. Probably he would have. I don't know if he would have. You know?
Well, but anyone except John Kerry.
Well, I just don't know if they got what, you know, if they have the intestinal fortitude to defend America to what it has to be. That's all.
All right. R.C. Collins with us here on the Phil Hendry Show. 877-876-7445. I do understand we have Justin McElroy back on the line. I want this to be civil, gentlemen. I do not want it to be an argument or vulgar language. And, Justin, you were told off the air, no more references to genitalia. This is not the Internet. This is radio. Do you understand me, sir?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so we can't have any of that language.
Yes, sir, I understand. I'm sorry. Can I say something? Well, the host just got to say it.
Hold on. I'll conduct the interview here. I'll let Justin respond immediately, R.C., then we'll get back to you. Go ahead.
First of all, I mean, there was a lot of what you said, you know, R.C., and I don't know if I can really deal with all of it right here, but I'm going to say that, you know, I don't know where you're coming from with Obama making us the Middle East is bitch, because... Oh, like Mr. Henry said, Obama didn't get us on oil. Hold on, man.
Wait, R.C. Let him finish.
Okay, I'm sorry. The other thing, were you talking about, Obama is not, you know, afraid of the middle, or Pakistan. Like Mr. Henry said, he attacked and he killed Osama bin Laden, you know. And, I don't know, I mean... Are you kidding? With Clint Eastwood, he was like 100 years old, and he was like not funny, and he is not interesting at all, and you don't even know anything about his movies, so what are you talking about?
Okay. You done?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, okay. What am I talking about? I mean, I didn't say that I was a big fan of Clint Eastwood's movies. I've seen some of them, but I say in that he is a conservative in Hollywood, and that to me is better than anything. And then... the other point you said about the Middle East is bitch. Well, Obama's not done nothing to get us off of the Middle East oil. And the whole thing about him killing Osama bin Laden is, like I said to Mr. Henry, any president would have done it if... Yeah, but you said that...
Whoa. Let him finish, okay?
Yeah. You gotta let me finish. Okay? You gotta let me finish, okay? Okay. That like Mr. Henry said... Well, or that I said, any president would have gotten him, is what I said.
All right. Justin McElroy, R.C. Collins, debating the appearance of Clint Eastwood at the Republican National Convention. Our number is 877-876-7445, 877-876-PHIL. Talking about the effectiveness of Clint Eastwood, talking about the effectiveness, really, of the Republican approach so far. And, you know, when the Democrats have their, when they have their convention, then we are going to be equally interested in their comments. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here. With me is R.C. Collins and Justin McElroy debating the appearance of Clint Eastwood tonight, debating, the relative merits of the Republican and Democratic platforms. R.C. Collins taking a decidedly pro-Republican stance, and Justin, we haven't had a chance to hear. Well, we've actually heard both of you guys. Let me get a phone call up here, 877-876-7445. This is Eunice. Eunice, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show. Hey, Eunice. Eunice. You've been babbling along, and you weren't even on the air. You weren't even on the air.
For so many years, but then we're trying to protect the American environment. That's the first
thing. Listen to this guy.
Because if we destroy this environment, then we're all going to be doomed.
Hey, Eunice.
Yes, sir.
You weren't even on the air. You've been babbling along for 2 minutes, and you weren't even on the air.
Oh, sorry.
You've been just going blah, 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 and you weren't even on the air. That's because in your world, you decide when you want to talk and when you don't, and you don't listen to anybody. Isn't that right?
Well, I'm really sorry about that.
Well, that's what happens when you are just kind of going off in your own direction, man, and you don't listen to anybody. You just blah, 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 blah. Nobody heard anything you said. So now we're on the air, and now we can begin, and now you can commence what it was you wanted to say. Go ahead.
Okay.
I wanted to talk about America being
No, I'm not kidding.
The Saudi oil. America
okay.
cannot just go ahead and say that, you know what, we're
are you,
out
have
of
you got
there,
this guy? Have you got his volume all the way up, too? Dan? Yeah. Your phone is the worst, man. I mean, there's all kinds of things wrong with your phone call here.
Okay.
I can't hear you.
Call you back, sir.
Mr. Henry, you should hang up on this guy. He was going, yeah, that, that, that.
Yeah, okay. Eunice, thanks very much, man, for nothing.
can I jump in?
Go ahead.
Oh, I thought you were being pretty rude to that guy, you know.
No, he wasn't being rude at all.
Hold on for a minute. Let me explain something. When I screened a guy's call, I said, you know, your phone is really crappy. Get off the speaker, get closer to the receiver, and we'll be with you in a minute. And when I went to his call, he was yak, 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 like he hadn't even listened to me, and he was just talking. Okay?
Yeah, I mean, he didn't know that. A lot of people who are new to talk radio...
Well, he's not new to talk radio. He's called the show before, you know?
Well, I mean, hold on. But, I mean, you were really rude to him, and he was going to say really good stuff about Obama, and you... You know, you didn't let him.
Well, I want to jump in here, Mr. Henry, if I could.
Mr. Henry didn't say you could. You know,
you're not the host of the show.
Hold on for a minute. I'll let him jump in. Go ahead.
My turn?
Yeah, go ahead.
Thank you. First of all, that guy was agreeing with me, and he was talking about Obama. He doesn't make the rules on how oil and everything goes. It's got to be passed by the Congress. Yeah, the president can... support, you know, drilling and everything, but it doesn't necessarily mean that that's what's going to happen with the Congress, okay? And I, you know, and that guy agreed with me, and if he agreed with you, you probably would have left him on the air.
No, I told you what I'm telling you again, what I said to him and what I said, what I'm saying to you now. That man did not listen to me, and he came on the air in an absolutely, completely, you know, in a crap state. You know, his phone didn't work. He wasn't listening. He was talking. And so off the air he goes.
Yeah, Phil, I think you have every right in the world to control a show what you do, you know. He doesn't have a right to tell people to hang up because, you know, he doesn't agree with them. You didn't tell them to hang up. I mean, you don't tell people to hang up. They hang up or he hang up. That's all. No, Mr. Henry hung up on him because he didn't agree.
No, I did not hang up on him because he didn't agree. I hung up on him because his phone could not be heard because he right from the gate, the guy wasn't listening to me and he was talking, you know.
Well, I mean, what, are people not supposed to talk? It's a talk show, you know.
Yeah, well, but I mean, people are supposed to talk, but they got to talk when the talk show host... The people can talk, but they got to talk when the talk... When the talk... When the talk... When they're allowed to talk, you know. And
people are allowed to talk when I say they can talk. How's that?
Yeah, well, I mean, and that guy was talking. You told him to talk, right?
Yeah, but he didn't tell him to talk through the commercial when he talked. You know,
and your grammar is jacked up.
Everybody's grammar's jacked up, okay?
Yeah, but I didn't go. I'm not on here going, yeah, he's going to talk when they talk, because he talked.
Well, you sounded stupid when you were talking to the lady. You were all like, well, my mom, yeah. You know, I just think, Mr. Henry, that this is all a smokescreen for the fact that this guy just wants to rip into President Romney, or not President Romney. He's not the president yet. Yeah, I know he's not. He wants to rip into President Obama, or not President Obama. He wants to rip into Mitt Romney and Clint and Mr. Clintwood. I forget what his name is. God, man, his name's Clint Eastwood. Yeah, you're a real big fan.
No. Yeah, I'm a fan. I forgot what his name was.
All right, look. Gentlemen, maybe I got us off on a bad foot there talking about Clint Eastwood. And,
I'm glad you brought it up, Mr. Henry, because I think you represent how much, you know. And another thing, I just read where he ad-libbed his speech.
Yeah, see, you just went, he ad-libbed his speech.
Why didn't I say he ad-libbed his speech?
Oh, my God, he goes ad-lib.
you know, excuse me, but I don't know what it's called.
It's called ad-lib. He ad-libbed his speech, and apparently the news is that Mr. Eastwood ad-libbed. I think it was outstanding for an ad-lib job.
Yeah, he was talking to a chair, and he asked Phil Hendry for an autograph one time. I bet he's copying Phil Hendry. Oh, yeah, right. I'm sure he... Yeah, I don't think Mr. Henry is copying you.
No, I don't either, R.C. Thank you very much for that. Thanks, gentlemen, for your views.
Well, I wanted to... Can I just say, when he said ad lib, he sounded like a...
877... God, bud.
What?
Dude, this all started when Margaret Gray... I need some water, Robert. Do you mind?
Not at all, man.
When Margaret Gray... couldn't remember what it was she wanted to talk about, although I will say she has remembered and she wants to talk about Prince Harry taking his pants off. Great. We'll be right back. World-famous Phil Hendry Show with Hour 2 of our marvelous presentation when we come back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Phil Hendry showing the world of talk radio how to do a talk show without a lot of weird-ass guests and a lot of weird-ass callers. I mean, this is some serious, serious stuff! We'll be right back.
Are you kidding me, man? You got the weirdest people that I've ever heard in the whole...
Phil Hendry.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. In a moment, we're going to have Harvey Wehrman on. He is our legal counsel, as you know, on the show, and we're going to talk about a lawsuit that has been filed in the broadcast world, and it is a piece of valid news. It is valid industry news. It is reported in widely disseminated trade journals, but it is a bit of financial information relative to the radio world, and more specifically, relative to me. Because I work in an association with one of my business partners, if you will, is the company that syndicates my radio show. And that company is Talk Radio Network, a company that has filed a lawsuit as of the 28th, I believe, of August, charging monopoly, violation of antitrust, and other specific violations of federal law. And that this lawsuit is directed specifically at a company called Dial Global. Dial Global. So Harvey Wehrman is going to be with us here in just a moment to discuss this. We do have the... Do you have that, bud?
Yeah, I do. I've got the story.
Okay, this one here.
Uh-huh. Page 2. And then this one.
You got it up in my nose, bud. Get it out of my nose, man. God, you're sticking the thing.
Sorry. You got it still up his nose, man. No, but I want to make sure you saw this page here. See? Now, your signature goes, I understand. Get it
out of my face, man. God.
But you did see that.
Yes, thank you, bud, very much.
And your signature goes here, 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 here.
Wait a minute, man. I'm asking about a news story.
No, I understand that, but this is also relative. Your attorney wanted these signed because of the corporation, articles of incorporation.
Yeah, that's great, bud. Thank you. I'm on the air right now, man.
Oh, sorry. But you'll notice here, and then this copy is yours.
Okay. You get that out of my nose, man. I'm on the air.
Sorry.
Man, can't you see the guy's on the air? You do that when a guy ain't on the air.
Yeah, but the attorney said make sure Phil see it.
Okay, man. He saw it.
I saw it, bud. Thank you. Very good. Thank you. I appreciate it. This is not the time for me to be signing. To be signing stuff. Thank you. Don't you think maybe I'd like to read things? In any event, God, bud.
What?
Well, you're coming on like, you know, one of those assistant guys with the white gloves in those movies. Yes, sir, just sign right here, you know.
Well, I wanted to be sure that you saw it all.
Fine. All right, we're going to get Harvey Wehrman on the line here in just a moment. Our number is 877-876-7445, 877-876-PHIL. And we are with you here, there, and everywhere, man. Live from the El Pacifico, baby. We're online at philhendryshow.com. We dropped, if you'll pardon the expression, dropped which sounds almost, you know.
Yeah, like there's supposed to come a splash after that, you know.
Yeah.
That was very adult. But in any event, we dropped a podcast today, episode number 37 of the Free Phil Henry Podcast, and you can find that by going to our home site, philhenryshow.com, and hitting the podcast banner there on the left. Coming up on Monday, it is the Milwaukee Lions, and they're taking on the New York Pets. Jack Igagdor and Brett Morrison live from Duckworth Memorial Stadium. On Wang Radio, we carry the radio call on Phil TV and HD starting at 1 o'clock Central Daylight Time. Then, on Tuesday, we roll out the best of Bobby Dooley, a new series of downloads called The Ever So Best of Bobby Dooley, and that will be available starting at 1 o'clock Central Time on the Phil Henry Show website. What else? Okay, that's it. Let's get on the line here now. Harvey Wireman, who is, as I mentioned, a gentleman who is an attorney, is in San Marino, California. And it's always, Harvey, I'm telling you, it's always a pleasure to talk to you, man. It doesn't happen enough.
Hey, you know, Phil, that's very nice of you to say, and I'm glad to be on the line with you.
Did you see the articles?
Yeah, I did see the articles, and I did see the lawsuit that you were referencing, and
is there a siren going down the street there?
No, we're looking at the television with my daughter and my granddaughter. But if you'll give me a moment, Phil, I want to get my glasses, and I just would let me ask her, okay, honey? Hey, Victoria, honey, Victoria, baby, get Grandpa his glasses in the kitchen, okay? That's it. She's going to get my glasses for me.
Can I say something?
No, I know what you're going to say. Every time she goes to get my glasses, she comes back with the jumbo, with the jumbo size. And
she comes back with those big glasses she got at Disneyland.
Yeah, the big jumbo. Make sure she doesn't bring the jumbo set. Yeah, she always goes and gets the jumbo. That's what I call them, the jumbo set. I don't know what else. God, yeah. She gets my throat, Phil. I've got some of the phlegm.
I understand. And you know what? I'm sorry to bother you with this stuff. I should remember.
Turn that down, will you, Phil? Hey, Bill, my son-in-law. Yeah, turn it down. Thanks, son. Tell Victoria to get not to bring Grandpa the jumbo. What'd you say, Phil?
I said that I am sorry to be bothering you here in the midst of family time. I appreciate you helping us.
Hey, Phil, it's always a pleasure, Phil. I can only tell you that I wish, as you said, we could do this more often. All right, five LAPD officers are under investigation for beating a woman to death. Now,
that's not the one. It's
which one is it?
It's the Talk Radio Network lawsuit.
Okay, yeah, I got it here.
I mean, the five LAPD officers. That's a story that needs to develop. I don't want to get into this and speculate on something that is still under investigation, and all of the facts need to come in. I'm talking about Dial Global being sued by TRN.
Yeah, no, I've got it. I've got that, Phil. Talk Radio Networks has filed a lawsuit. Has filed a, she's got to get the glasses. Hold on, Phil. Not the jumbo. But what I mean by jumbo is she's bringing me the glasses that we got at Disneyland. I don't want those. Those are jumbo play glasses. All right. Talk Radio Networks, has filed a lawsuit against Dial Global, claiming the competing talk syndication company is a
Monopoly.
I'm sorry, yeah, Monopoly. And has, Viola
violated. You know what?
Violated. I don't have the glasses. Hold on.
Well, you're going to have to get glasses because I want you to comment on the legality of, not on the legality, but just your opinion, a legal opinion on this, Harvey, and you'd need to be able to read it.
I understand, Phil. Hold on for just a minute. I've got a phlegm problem. Get me a cup of hot water, All right, Bill. Hey, Bill.
Yep.
Get me a cup of hot water, okay? Have Victoria find Grandpa's regular reading glasses, not the jumbo, that she's now brought me twice, and I don't know what the problem is with Ellen. She's
I'll find out.
Okay, son. And then get... I got a great son-in-law, but the women are... you know what I mean, Phil?
Okay.
So I'll try to get through this the best way I know how, Phil. And I apologize. So we know the talk radio network has sued Dial Global, charging a monopoly, and they violated Ant Rust.
Ant Rust? What is that?
Yeah, the Ant Rust. They violated Ant Rust.
Antitrust.
Okay. Antitrust. Yeah. The suit was officially filed by the original Talk Radio Network Incorporated, Talk Radio Network Enterprises LLC, and Talk Radio Network FM Incorporated. It claims that Dial Global, is that Spanish?
No, Dial Global is the name of the company.
Oh, all right. Hold on. Honey, no, not the jumbo.
You know, Harvey, I got to tell you, this is not working out.
Wait a second, okay? Yeah. Hold on, will you? I got to get me a cup of hot water, boiling hot. I've got a lock of phlegm in my throat that is like a block of cement. And I want the glasses, not the jumbo she keeps bringing me.
What do you mean by jumbo?
The jumbo glass. You see those glasses there? That's what she's been bringing me.
All right. Come on, Victoria, honey.
Come on, Bill. You know what I mean, right?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
All right. He's a good guy. My son-in-law is brighter. I'm very blessed. My son-in-law is light years more intelligent than my daughter. And I am blessed. I thank God.
What's your son-in-law do?
He's an attorney. He's a criminal defense attorney up in San Francisco. But my daughter, and I love my daughter. I will commit murder for my daughter. I will kill anyone that hurts my daughter or my granddaughter. I will kill them with my bare hands. I won't even stop to get a weapon. I won't stop to load a weapon. I won't even need a weapon. I'm 83 years of age, and I will kill anyone that harms my daughter or my granddaughter with my bare hands, Phil. Imagine that. And I say that with full confidence.
Okay.
But having said that, my daughter is... She's got to be one of the dumbest human beings that has ever lived. I mean, on the face of the earth, since time began, since man crawled out of the disgusting stench soup that we were formed in. My daughter must be at the top 4% of the idiots. And yet I'd kill for her. See? So that's my life.
Yeah.
My throat, I'm telling you.
All right, let's get back to this lawsuit.
What lawsuit?
All right, hold on for a minute.
But Phil, you know, get your own pun, you're going to get stupid people.
You know, you're right. He's right.
No, man,
he's absolutely right. He's absolutely right. I've been putting up with these idiots for years. Why don't I get someone that's smarter? Why do I talk to Harvey? The guy's half senile himself, you know.
Yeah, you might as well get Mr. Clintwood on or something.
Not Clintwood, you idiot. Eastman.
Clint Eastwood. No, and not, no. All right, we'll be right back. Phil Hendry Show, 877-876 7445.
Truth is
don't bring
bitch.
Me the jumbo ones. Bring
the
me the regular
Henry
ones.
Show.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
This is the world famous Bill Henry Show.
877-876-7445 on the line with me, Harvey Wireman, talking with us here about the prospective lawsuit. It is an industry lawsuit. It's probably not very big news. It is a lawsuit filed by one of my partners, Talk Radio Networks. They have filed a lawsuit against Dial Global, charging a violation of the antitrust laws and in operating a monopoly. Harvey Wireman joins us, an attorney at law from San Marino, California. I also want to get on the line here. Turn that music off. Good Lord. I also want to get on the line here. Herb Sewell, and Herb does research. Now, I know we've had you on the line, Herb, with us before, talking about some rather specific things in terms of criminal acts, but you do research in this area, do you not?
I've actually been involved in a couple of different publications, not legal papers per se, but these have been communication publications, dealing with antitrust and dealing with the monopoly as it pertains to the Federal Communications Code, as it pertains to, and also as it pertains to the corporate entities in this country. I want to jump in, Phil. This is the gentleman who's been on your program before, and he has been you have been involved in some pedophilia. Is that correct? That is correct, but I am not on the program to talk about that.
He's not going to talk about that at all.
Right, I know, but I don't know if I can believe a... well, sir, I say this with the greatest of respect, Mr. Wyman. I'm on the program to comment because it does not appear that you have a grasp of the reading material, of reading the material that's in front of you. What does that mean, I don't have a grasp? Well, I've been listening to you on this program, and you have been, you're saying monopoly, and you said antitrust and things like this. You don't seem to have the right words. I have the right words, Mr. Sewell. I have the right words, Mr. Sewell. And I'm sorry for saying this, sir. Do you mind me butting in? But you have a very distressing habit there of going, yeah, there's something wrong with you. Yeah, no, the thing that's wrong with me is my throat. I've got a phlegm situation that would if you knew the extent of it, it would frighten you to death. You would be petrified with fear. All right? Well, I don't know how to comment on that, sir, but I would say that it is a little bit distracting, but I'm not here to argue with you.
Yeah, Herb's here to just assist with a couple of points of law.
He's here to assist. He's here to assist with a couple of points of law. Yes, sir, that is exactly why I'm here. And again, I mean no disrespect, but when you are talking... and then the next thing I hear is this, hey, what is he talking about?
When you clear your throat.
I've got a phlegm. Did you hear what I said, or is it going in one ear and then maybe not even out another ear? Maybe it's going in your ear and coming out your nose, you know?
Going in one ear and coming out my nose. It's very music.
No, sir, it's not going in an ear and coming out a nose. I'm simply saying... for the purpose of Mr. Henry's audience, and for you as well, Mr. Wyman, I'm here to assist you. I'm not here to degrade or to detract from what it is you're trying to say. That's all. All right, and I would also say you have a very distressing habit of going, like you just took one. You know?
I don't understand. Took what?
All right, now let's not get sidetracked with all this stuff, so... Harvey, continue reading, and then Herb, if you wouldn't mind.
Well, I've got to get the glasses because of the jumbo. Yeah.
That is also one other thing I'd like to comment on. This man has been looking for his glasses now for God knows how long. He's been complaining that his granddaughter is getting the jumbo size. Now, I don't mean any disrespect. Honestly, I don't. But how developmentally challenged is your granddaughter?
You know, you just watch your mouth, mister. Did you hear what I just said?
Did I hear you say what?
I said anybody that would come after my granddaughter or my daughter, I would take you apart with my bare hands.
And I'm just simply saying, sir, that she did not get the glasses that she wanted after 3, 4, 5 tries. That's all I'm saying, sir. My God! And you would take me apart? Pull me apart like the wings from a beetle or a fly? Is that what you would do?
There you go, right? See, right there. That's exactly what I do. Yeah! My throat's jammed up. My ass hurts. My eyes, I'm as blind as a bat. And I've got some reconstituted kid killer, whatever you do with kids. And you're giving me legal advice? I've never been more offended in my life, Mr. Henry.
Can we just get back to the story?
Well, I'll get back to the story, but if I hear one word out of this freak, I can assure you, I told you one word. Now, the story as it goes. Dow Global has a monopoly instead. Don't say anything. If I mispronounce it, I mispronounce it.
I said,
if I mispronounce it, don't say a word.
Harvey.
Did you hear me?
Go ahead.
Dow Global has a monopoly in Salus for independent talk radio, which could cause over 1,100 radio satanians in us and had been operating for over 20 years, going into a presidential election in favor of its emediat replacement by a Bundet Nuss operation at the election of its Salus representative is a telling exemplum of the treat posed by the Abelapple of a small handful of elected Wall Street executive, I think. I got that word wrong.
Did you? You got that word wrong. Yeah, you were doing so well.
What did I tell the freak? Didn't I tell the freak to shut up?
Come on, Herb, just let him...
No, he was doing so well, and he got that one word executive wrong. Other than that, everything was great.
I told the freak to shut up, and the freak wouldn't shut up. Now that leaves me only one option. I got to give my keys now to Anselmo, who's my man... He's going to warm my Cadillac up. Now, where are you, freak?
I'm not going to tell you because I'm under court order not to disclose my location.
Where was I?
You had just said that something about Exacataca and the Salus.
Yes, exactly. Wall Street Exacataca, who had a Chiba, Suffolkian dominance in one Salus. Okay, so let's see, page two.
Never mind, we got to take a break now.
You can't know that I'm on a roll.
877-876-PHIL. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Is he really coming to look for me?
I don't think so.
Phil Hendry. It's the Phil
Hendry Show.
Yeah, hold on. We're on with Harvey Wireman and Harvey Wireman and Herb Sewell as we discuss this lawsuit that's been filed by Talk Radio Networks against Dial Global. And, of course, it's been a very active day on the political scene, particularly in Tampa, obviously, with the Republican convention, Clint Eastwood speaking. And we just actually on Phil TV and HD showed a little clip of that. And behind, I didn't know throughout the entire speech they had the man with no name. What was that, Herb?
I believe that was the picture you're looking at there. If I'm not mistaken, Phil, you could show it one more time. I'd really yes, that picture I believe comes from the outlaw Josie Wales. You know, I've got to disagree with that. I think that's the plain.
Yeah.
It's the high plain. It's the pale. It's a high plain. God, I forget what it's called. You're thinking of High Plains Drifter.
Oh, yeah. High Plains Drifter, Harvey?
No, not High Plains Drifter. The one where he drifted. He was a drifter, but
I mean, Pale Rider?
Yes, Pale Rider.
Pale Rider. I don't know. I didn't think he had a beard in Pale Rider. You could be right, though.
I think it's the Pale Rider, which was the guy that comes into the mining camp.
Yeah, that's exactly right, Harvey. The mining camp. Clint Eastwood played a preacher.
Yes, he played a preacher. And Carrie Snodgrass, you remember that actress? She was a real mental case. And she, and I shouldn't say that, but Carrie Snodgrass.
Yeah.
Hold on, I got to get some more hot water, Bill, okay?
Got it, huh?
And tell the girls, forget it, I'm blind. I'm now stone blind, so forget the glasses. It doesn't matter any longer. I can't see, okay?
Got it.
But you understand what I just said? You love that, Phil? I just told my son-in-law that I'm stone blind, and I might as well have said that I messed myself. Doesn't make any difference.
Well, no, a lot of times they don't pay attention to the elderly.
You know something, Sewell? I'll give you this much. You say some sensible things. I'll give you that much.
Yeah.
Is that really the phlegm problem that caused you to do that?
Caused me to do what?
Yeah, all those noises.
What do you mean, noises? I'm clearing my throat. Now, a lot of times, Phil, I have to tell you, a lot of times these phlegm problems. Because I know Mother had the problem shortly before I she strangled on her own spit. Your mother died that way, huh? Yes, she did. She strangled on her own sputum, and it was quite...
All right, let's just get off of that. So, getting back here to the lawsuit, Harvey, that you were talking about, and you got none of those words right, so I don't really... I'm going to read this, and you guys can comment.
What do you mean I didn't get any of the words right?
Salas and all this jazz, you butchered it alive.
Well, I gotta get the glasses, will you? Not the jumbo.
Oh, forget it, man. I thought you said they're not going to get them for you.
Oh, no, you're right. That's right.
All right. Talk Radio Networks has filed a lawsuit against Dial Global claiming the competing talk syndication company is a monopoly and has violated antitrust rules. The suit was officially filed by the original Talk Radio Network Incorporated, Talk Radio Network Enterprises, and Talk Radio. There's a number of companies, I guess, that are involved in this that, not a number of companies involved, but there's a number of entities that come under sort of one banner there. It claims that Dial Global has a monopoly in sales for independent talk radio, which could cause a second-generation monopoly, adding that the recent destruction of CNN Radio, which was on over 1,100 radio stations in the U.S. and had been operating for over 20 years, going into a presidential election in favor of its immediate replacement by a branded news operation at the election of its sales representatives, is a telling example of the threat posed by the ability of a small handful of unelected Wall Street executives who have achieved sufficient dominance in one sales market to force changes in the separate independent spoken word market and the threat posed to other independent spoken word syndicators absent prompt corrective actions.
You got to be putting me on. Was that a whole sentence?
That was a sentence that started at, yeah.
I don't know what to say to that. You're going to have to read it again.
I'm not going to read anything again.
That was the longest sentence. I agree with Sewell. I can't make head nor tail out of that.
But basically, it's saying that there's a monopoly by Dial Global.
I don't know. What is the...
In a statement, TRN CEO Mark Masters said, quote, in a statement. So that was what I just read there was part of the lawsuit. Now comes a press release from the CEO, quote, this is a sad but necessary day for us, but the steps we take today are for the sake of the entire community of independent spoken word syndicators and independent radio networks who depend on outside sales representation for their very financial survival. Masters adds that he hopes TRN's lawsuit signals the beginning of the end to active monopoly and anti-competitive action within radio's independent spoken word syndication markets. Your comments.
I have no idea what any of that means. Yeah, I've got to say, I don't understand it at all.
Yee-hee.
Sorry.
All right, well, that was the lawsuit. Then comes the follow-up. And this is the response by Dial Global, and they responded on the 28th, I believe, the same day that this lawsuit was filed. Talk Radio Network filed suit in U.S. federal court for the Central District of California against Dial Global, alleging the rival syndicator has violated antitrust and monopoly laws. Dial Global has responded with co-CEO Spencer Brown saying, quote, despite the comments in Mr. Masters' email to the press distributed yesterday in which he announced his company Talk Radio Networks is suing Dial Global, at this time, Dial Global has not been served a complaint. We have provided outstanding service to TRN for over 10 years and continue to represent several of TRN's programs today. Based on the information contained in the complaint distributed by Mr. Masters to the press, which complaint was filed by a law firm run by Ron Severide, TRN's own internal legal counsel, we believe this complaint is entirely frivolous. We are confident we will defeat these spurious claims, assuming they are ever heard in a court of law. Harvey, your comment.
Well, the comment was made there about the law firm run by in-house counsel may signal a conflict of interest claim there, but nonetheless, the more significant statement by Mr. Brown is at the end where he says that, yeah, God, that phlegm. And where's that hot water, Bill?
Yeah, I'm coming up.
How long does it take to boil water?
Yeah, I know. But you know that daughter of yours?
Yeah, you know something, Bill? I'm glad you're my son-in-law, because my daughter, if she got any dumber, I swear we'd all be dead. All of us, including my granddaughter. And I'm not, you know, are you still there, Phil?
Yes, I'm here.
Well, what are you getting pissed at me for?
Dude, we're on the air, you know, and you're sitting having a whole conversation with people.
I'm sorry, okay. The more significant comment to me, Phil, was there the one made by this guy, Brown, who said, we are confident we will defeat these spurious players, assuming they're ever heard in a court of law. Now, the reason why I point that out is because I read an opinion that was written yesterday. And in the opinion, they are saying that a feature of the lawsuit is the peppering of First Amendment claims within it. A curtailment or harming of First Amendment rights is not generally possible by a private entity. Rather, governmental actions are generally the subject of the First Amendment. In the lawsuit, the plaintiffs allege that the defendant's power to control the financial fate of over 100 independent spoken word syndicators held in the hands of the unelected Wall Street executives is chilling First Amendment, is chilling to the First Amendment, the concentration of power, blah, blah, blah. So in other words, the whole thing sounds real weird. You know, it doesn't sound like...
It doesn't sound like, in other words, it's not, it's, they can't claim that a private entity can chill First Amendment rights?
That's exactly right, because you have the right to go out if someone you claim is chilling your First Amendment rights. And by the way, when we say chill, we're not talking about the way the kids you know how the kids in the hip-hop say chill out and everything? Yeah, that's what they say. It's like cool out, except it's a new generation's way of saying cool out. It's chill out. Yeah, it's chill out. And we're not talking about chilling of, you know, it sounds stupid, but if any of the people listening do the whip, double whip dessert, have you ever had the whip dessert, Mr. Henry, or any of the whips?
I don't know what you mean by whips.
Have you had the whipped desserts? Have you ever had any of the delicious whips? They've got a strawberry, you know what I mean, Herb? I think I know what you mean. He's talking about these desserts that are whips.
I think I know what you mean, like Jell-O?
No, not Jell-O. God, I'm talking about the whipped, you know, Jell-O would work, yeah. Don't you chill your whip? Or not your whip, but do you chill whips? Javi, this is Herb Sewell. Yeah. You do chill the different whips.
Whatever, man. What are you talking about?
Look, Henry, yeah. Don't use that tone with me.
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about whipped the puddings. Okay, I should have said pudding.
Okay, you should have said, you're talking about chilling pudding?
Yes.
No, I know they're not talking about that, and I know that my audience doesn't think they're talking about that. They're talking about just chilling, as in chill out.
No, they're not talking about chill out.
I mean, you're right. They're talking about chilling, as in slowing down and making less possible.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, thank you. God. You know, I think it could have been avoided just by assuming that people understood what you're talking about. You never know with an idiot like Henry, you know.
You know, this is really interesting. About 15 minutes ago, you were talking about Herb being a freak, and now you guys are just the best of buddies.
I think Herb's got some good points, that's all. But I appreciate that, Javi, coming from someone as educated as yourself and experienced as yourself. Thank you very much. You see, this is how you talk to a man such as myself who went, yeah, yeah, so has the experience. Now, let me get back to where I was. So, they're saying that this amendment, this First Amendment, cannot be chilled by a private entity. Now, this complaint appears to be a, quote, disgruntled programming supplier lawsuit gussied up in grandiose claims of Sherman Act and Clayton Act violations. Simply put, the programming supplier plaintiffs entered into contractual relations with program syndicators and now believe that those contracts have been breached. These observations are not to minimize the alleged harm or damage that may have accrued to the plaintiffs, but it will be interesting to see if the plaintiffs are able to proceed with the litigation of their Sherman Act and Clayton Act antitrust claim, which are getting all the attention. Oh, God, I can't. I'm bored to death. Yeah.
Okay, well, so that's it?
I'm going to take a nap. You want to sit? I'm going to lay down, Bill. Bill, this is Harvey.
That's not Harvey. That's Herb.
I tried to pretend like it's Herb. You're right.
Then just say it's Herb.
I'm sorry.
Why would you say it's Harvey?
I wanted to see if I could continue being him, but I...
What did somebody just play? Quit playing it like a criminal, okay, Herb? One of the problems you're having in life is you still play it like a criminal. You still think like a criminal.
I understand.
What did you want to say?
I sim-
simply wanted to say that the opinion there appears to say that this is a frivolous lawsuit by a disgruntled entity, a program supplier that has entered into an agreement with a syndicator, and the syndicator is not doing its job as well as they'd like them to do, and there you go. But I think Dial Global also has an interest in the Westwood One radio network. Am I right about that?
One of those, yeah. I think it's Westwood One.
So I think that given Westwood One, Talk Radio Network, et cetera, there might be a little bit of a tug of war in terms of where their interests lie, and that might have more to do with money than anything else. I'm Herb Sewell, and thank you, Phil, for having me on the program and not once mentioning the fact that I was arrested for child molestation.
Yeah, well, you know what? You just then I tried to dump it, and I couldn't do it. We'll be right back. Thank you very much, Herb Sewell and Harvey Weirman on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We'll be what I've had the Clint Eastwood picture up here for the entire damn segment. Well, maybe that's better. 877's better to look at than me. 877-876. Phil, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We'll be right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. A real weird night. I apologize. We had Margaret Gray was going to come on here. Is she still, is she at all anywhere in the neighborhood?
Well, I think, but what'd she say? She said she'd come on, but she's all embarrassed now. She forgot about it.
Margaret Gray came on here ostensibly to talk about Prince Harry and some episode of his in Las Vegas where he was photographed in the All Together. But part of the way through the introduction, and she was having a bit of a little debate there with Justin McElroy and R.C. Collins regarding Clint Eastwood's appearance at the Republican National Convention, she completely forgot what it was she wanted to talk about. And then Justin McElroy completely, he ran out of material, and then we ran out of material. And so that was the first half hour. So she wants to come back on here, fine with me. But to be perfectly honest with you, since I am the king, the absolute king of carrying a three-hour talk show with just myself, my wits, my intelligence, my good looks, and my charm, I can certainly continue.
You kidding?
No, I'm not kidding. No.
Well, I'm not kidding, but I mean, you're exaggerating, right?
No, I'm not exaggerating. No, I am not exaggerating. Makes you think I'm exaggerating.
Well, I mean, you talk about the king? What about Rush Limbaugh and everything?
Rush Limbaugh's fantastic, but even Rush Limbaugh stops down to take a phone call here and there. On this radio show, all I do is I do what I do, baby. All I do is I do what I do, and I keep on doing it, man, until there ain't nothing left to do. That's me. So how about that, huh?
Yeah, that's a lot of words to live by, man.
Yeah. Thank you. Words to live by is right. The absolute king of carrying 3 hours of radio and creating magic out of nothing, man. And believe you me when I tell you, creating radio in the environment... Well, I better not go any further because I've already read about TRN suing people, so...
No, I've got to watch it, man.
All right, fine. Anyway, welcome back to our program. Our number is 877-876-7445, and of course, we're online at philhendryshow.com. To that end, don't forget, we are going to be... we're going to be broadcasting the Lions game on Monday. We have the rollout of the best of Bobby Dooley, the ever-so-best of Bobby Dooley on Tuesday. That'll be in our... shop, the merchandise shop, another download. And I got to be honest with you, I've had a lot of people asking, why don't you guys do the following thing? Why? And they didn't say this, but people have been suggesting individual shows. So the new idea I've got, the new brainstorm I've got, which I think is, frankly, I think it's a great idea, if you want my honest opinion. This is my latest brainstorm. We go through our download numbers at the end of each month because we get a breakout. And we know exactly how many downloads we do a month from our subscribers. We also know how many downloads we've been doing with our podcast, and we are growing by leaps and bounds, 100% every month, 100% every single month, bang, 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 more and more downloads. But to the extent that we are keeping track of the number of downloads on our website, I'm going to institute a top downloaded shows of either the week or every 2 weeks. What do you think?
That's a great idea. People, they always ask about it.
Yeah, you're going to have the top downloaded shows, then what?
What we'll do is we'll have a list of the top downloaded shows. Which shows are being downloaded the most? Which of the, of our 4,500 hours of programming, of our over almost 15 years of radio shows that we have in our archives, which are the top downloads? And we'll monitor that, and we'll have a list of that, and then we'll make those shows available for purchase on a individual basis. See? Now, I don't know if that's something that we're going to institute right away. I do know that I want to have kind of a top chart of the top downloaded shows.
Bill, about buying those shows.
Well, I'm not sure I want to do that right away. I'm going to just wait and see. But I do want to see how feasible it is for us to generate once a week this list. Because really, this is where we're going now, man. This is exactly where the industry is going. There was a time, a long time ago, that they had a thing called the Top 40. And then as the buying habits of the public became more refined, as tracking became a little bit more refined, as people started buying more albums as opposed to singles, then they had to sort of change up how they track these things. And then we had the CHR charts and the urban charts, and the charts got separated out. And you had classical and you had jazz, right? And then gradually things became even more refined, and then you had radio charts as opposed to sale charts, so that you had airplay as opposed to the actual selling. And then we got into downloads of the top songs. Well, now, where are we? Now we have the ability for an individual artist like our show, The Phil Henry Show, we can do a sort of micro-tracking of our material, our shows, our bits, and what we do, and we can market based on that. This is what we mean when we talk about narrowcasting. This is what we mean when we talk about the new media. It is no longer the world of this kind of broadcasting and this this sort of broad evaluating of the marketplace and of material available. Now you have to more narrowly evaluate things, and we do have the tools to do that. So
you're going to get like a list of the top Phil Henry download.
We're going to do, yeah, we're going to do a list of the top downloaded things on our pay site, philhenryshow.com, the same way as we track our downloads of our free Phil Henry podcast, of which, like I said, from last month to this month, we've had an 80% jump in the number of downloads. Okay?
You said 100%.
All right, it was 80%. I'm sorry.
Yeah, well, that's not 100%.
Okay, it was 80%. I lied. And I lie a lot. And I lie when it benefits me. In other words, I am a believer in the America. I'm kidding. We'll be right back. Phil Henry Show.
Talk about America lying and everything. Wrong. Real wrong.
Yeah, it's wrong. It shouldn't be said at all.
All right, I'm sorry. God.
Wrong, man.
Wrong.
Ruby took the law in his own hands, man.
World famous Phil Henry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. The news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch. We go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. What is that place that we go to? Number one, unlike any other talk show in America, we can fill 3 hours with all kinds of phantasmagoria, satire, put on, you name it. We don't need to do a regular talk show. As a matter of fact, we despise regular talk shows. That's not to say that we don't like the people that do them or we don't like the programmers. We're just saying that, you know, we're all capable of better, or at least I know I am, and I don't know about anybody else. And I would rather be cleaning toilets for a living than doing a traditional talk show. Let me repeat that. I'd rather be cleaning toilets for a living, except at certain people's houses, than doing a regular talk show.
Which people?
Yeah, I don't want to say, but a lot of them own radio companies. Now, I'm serious. I like the show we do, and I enjoy doing it every night. And I also enjoy standing the rest of the talk radio world on its head and making it look really like the refuge of jackballs that it is. Real, real dunces. You know, I told you that I had a meeting last week. I had a fantastic meeting with the kind of people that I like to meet with and the kind of people that I like to do business with. And what are those people? They're people involved in new media. They're people involved in the world of what has been traditionally referred to as the podcast, but in point of fact, it's much better. Podcast is such a stupid name that I would really advise any and all who are involved in the podcast world, including myself, because we do a podcast, to let's find another name for it, because it sounds asinine and it doesn't do justice to what's happening. There's a revolution going on in the so-called spoken word format. There is a revolution going on in spoken word audio content kind of programming that has passed the radio world by. Radio is still sitting there with a thumb parked, like almost like the grand dame who lives in a house that has a hole in the roof, that has raccoons living in the attic, that has a weed problem, that has a plumbing problem, but she still imagines she lives in this marvelous mansion. That's radio. Sitting there in a decrepit and decaying house, while everybody else has built a whole new kind of domicile and is taking up residence in that. See? Now you say, well, Phil, why have I allowed? Let me tell you something. I've done everything that I possibly could do. Going back many years, I've done everything that I can do to say my piece with regard to this. I said it over and over and over again. I said you have to invest in content. You have to invest in talent. For you guys to keep on with this eroding sales model that you use, where you talk about brands. This term brand comes from the podcast world. It doesn't come from radio. Where are you guys in radio coming off with this stuff? Now, I just saw they're going to have the Marconi Awards. And who did I see? Who are the keynote speakers? The very people that have done absolutely nothing to improve the situation. They've done nothing to improve the situation within our industry. These jackasses have been invited to be the keynote speakers. I'd mention names, but hey, I gotta eat, you know.
Yeah, you're afraid to.
All right, you know. I can only be a hero so far. But you know, I mean, they know I'm talking about them, if they listen to this show at all, which is highly doubtful because it's on very, very late, and they have to get their beauty rest. Now, having said all of that, you know, so I'm having lunch with these guys, and we're talking about this world of new media. The sales possibilities, how do you get this we've got 30 million Americans that are now listening to podcasts, and that's only getting bigger and bigger. And I, like I said, I hate the term podcast. I'd like to just, you know, program audio, you know, digital, the digital world of entertainment. These guys were saying, you know, we were back in New York at a talk radio convention of some kind. We went back there because they wanted to meet and greet and let these guys know what it is they were doing. And they said that for the very first time, we saw guys tearing their hair out, 60-year-old guys doing talk shows on radio, tearing their hair out and wondering what the hell they're going to do and how they're going to make money and how they're going to compete. Because all of a sudden it has dawned on these clowns, and the year is 2012, ladies and gentlemen, 2012, which means essentially it is about 6 to 7 years past the time they should have been thinking about this. 6 to 7 years past the time that they should have started thinking about this. So they're already 7 years behind the clock. And, oh, what am I going to, should I do a podcast too? Do you think that, there might be an audience of 30 million people. Yeah, I think maybe you might want to look into that. I don't know. I could be wrong. Radio making any money, man? You guys selling any advertising? How you guys doing, huh? How those radio stations doing? How's that whole model doing? Well, suffice it to say, we had a pretty entertaining conversation about this, because these guys all of a sudden are waking up and they're not doing these asinine talk radio conventions. I used to go to these things. I've stopped. I won't go to another one because I don't want to leave another radio convention feeling like I want to blow my brains out. I can't do it anymore. I don't want to do it anymore. You know, I used to go to these radio conventions. I used to go to the NAB. I keynoted one year. Another year I did a panel, and I've been to these talk radio things, and I don't want to leave them any longer feeling suicidal, because every time I walk out of these things and get on a plane to come home, I feel like swallowing the barrel of a gun. I feel like, what am I wasting my time for? I've never been around so many clueless, self-destructive people. And so I decided I'd swear it off, and I'm not missing anything, man. Now I find out from my friends, you know, we went back, because the last time I did a talk radio convention, instead of us talking about how can we make more money, how can we find more advertisers, how can we maximize the number of stations we're on, how can we, you know, maybe we ought to partner in and form smaller syndication, sort of smaller syndication belts so that we can regionally syndicate, you know, some just kind of brainstorming. No. Did we talk about that? Of course we didn't. What did they talk about? We were doing our shows for each other. We're talking about politics. It's not enough that we bore our listeners half to death with our uninformed, asinine opinions about politics. Now we go back to a talk radio convention, and we're doing the same thing to each other. And when I did that, I saw that, I said, that's it, I'm done. I'm done, man. Well, now, come on, Phil. No, no, not come on, Phil, anything. I'm done. I'm never going back to another one of these as long as I live. But what about if you come at it? No. I said no, and I mean no. Over. And now I just, like I said last week, we're having lunch. They said, well, finally, we went to one of these things. These guys are actually talking now about, you know, what are they going to do? They see themselves, you know, they're going to be extinct in a few years. So doing the kind of show that I've been doing for 20 years, man, I wouldn't stop doing this for all the tea in China, man, for love or money, baby. I love what we do. I love it. I love it. I love deconstructing media. I love satirizing it. I love satirizing the guests, the callers, the hosts. I love doing the whole thing, and that's what I'm going to continue to do. And the people that don't understand it or don't like it, they're the funniest ones of all to me. You talk about people whose brains have literally, the synapses, all of the neural pathways are like big bogs of ice on those people. So I'm digging it.
You just ripped the whole radio business and ripped them an ass and everything.
Yeah, what are you going to do for an encore, man? What does that mean? What am I going to do for an encore? I just spoke my mind.
Yeah, but you... Oh, man.
Oh, quit your worrying. What, are you afraid David's going to call? By the way, I don't want to talk to him tonight. No more calls from Mr. David G. Hall. All right, we had a Republican convention continuing this evening. There was a speech given by Clint Eastwood. I guess we sort of butchered that up, didn't we?
Yeah, we probably talked enough about Clint Eastwood. You know, talk about the old guy, the man.
Yeah, what about the one guy?
Yeah.
What guy, what man, okay?
The guy that they
nominated.
Romney?
Yeah, Romney.
Okay, we'll talk about him when we get back. How about that? We'll talk about Mitt Romney. We'll talk about what his chances are. We'll talk about what his world is going to look like. We'll talk about America. We'll talk about our great country. We'll talk about all of that on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We come back here. Our news and information hour, more straight ahead. Oh, I want to talk about what's the guy's name?
Tom Brady.
Tom Brady, yeah. I was going to say
Truth
Tom Bradley.
He's our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Well, he was black, too.
So?
Look, Tom Brady ain't black.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Get Joe Dickhead on the line. That's the only guy we can...
What?
You got to get Joe on the line, because he's the only guy that's going to be able to answer this unless maybe Dan can do a little homework. All I need to know, Dan, is how many Super Bowls did Tom Brady win? That's all, because I believe, and I don't own a pro football team. I'm not Robert Kraft. I have nothing but the greatest of respect for that man. Because that's a guy that knows how to put a football team together. Let me tell you what.
Man, Robert Kraft, he got the best football New England Patriots. Are you kidding me?
Patriots are badass. Badass. They are badass boys. And, you know, the Patriots, the Steelers continue to be a great team because they just continue decade after decade you know, when you're winning Super Bowls, man, in the 70s, and you're winning them again in the 90s, and then you win them again at the turn of the century here in the 2000s.
But about in the 80s, they didn't win nothing then.
Yeah, you can't really say.
Oh, well, whatever, man. I'm just saying that the Steelers have established it. But the New England Patriots, no question that these boys are tough. And it started before Brady got there. You have to remember, even though they did not win a Super Bowl, or did they? Did they win the Super Bowl? No, the Broncos beat them. Yeah, the Broncos beat them. Here's the question. The question was asked, and the question was answered by Robert Kraft. He said, I believe that Tom Brady is maybe the greatest quarterback in history. I know he's better than Joe Montana. And I think that's a fair statement to make. I don't take any great offense to that. Being of Joe Montana's generation, you know, I would, even though I was a Rams fan growing up, and was a Rams fan when Montana played, and I saw Joe Montana play many times at Anaheim when the Rams were still here in L.A. I saw Montana kick our ass many a day.
Ha, ha, ha.
What are you laughing at, man?
Yeah, I think it's funny.
That you're not a Ram fan?
No, I don't even know who to... I don't care.
You guys weren't old enough, but... believe me when I tell you, I went to Anaheim, man. It was like, oh, here we go again with Montana. We're going to get our asses handed to us. He's going to find a way to kick our ass. And he did. Kate, Tom Brady won 3, Joe Montana won 4. So I'm sorry, and I know that people are going to say the following. They're going to say, oh, defenses are tougher, and defenses are smarter. They're tougher to read now for a quarterback. A quarterback has to do a lot of checking off at the line of scrimmage that you didn't have to do half of that when you were quarterbacking in the 80s. I don't know that any of that is true. I know that there's no question the players are probably quicker and the players are no doubt bigger. I don't know whether or not the offenses and defense have gotten that much more sophisticated. But when you're talking about, there's something else that people don't mention. Yes, the players are bigger, but the quarterbacks are bigger. So the defenses are tougher, but the quarterbacks are also tougher. So if you are simply asking, well, which era is quicker and bigger and tougher, obviously the modern era wins. But that's not what you do. That's not how you compare the ability, the relative greatness of quarterbacks or any player in any sport. You have to compare them to themselves. You have to, in other words, look at what the environment is and how well they succeeded in that environment as opposed to the environment of the modern-day quarterback. And that environment also includes their own physical limitations and their own physical abilities and how difficult it was for a quarterback in those days to compete. Now, I'll give you an example. You know, Deacon Jones was a defensive end for the L.A. Rams at a time when you could do everything as a defensive end but tear a man's face off. And I'm not kidding you. You could put your hands up in his face. There was a thing way back in the day. This is probably even before Deacon Jones, there was a player known as the Claw. This guy was a defensive end that would come in, and he would look like he was going to miss you. You're a quarterback. You're dropping back. Keep in mind, there was no face mask in those days. A guy's running in, and he could stick his hand onto your face and see if he couldn't rip your entire face off by getting a finger up in the nostril or getting maybe sticking one in your eye. I'm not exaggerating either.
Man, are you kidding? That's like an animal or something.
That can't be legal.
Well, they outlawed it eventually, but it was legal for a while. Now, my question is this. Not, do you think the player's better? No. Was he as big as today's defensive ends? No. I forget the guy's name. Played for the Bears. Doug something. Was he as big as today's defensive ends? No. Was he as fast? No. Was he as, you know, no. But you have to compare within the environment. He played in an environment, and that quarterback played in that environment, where when he dropped back to pass, a guy could come along and peel your face right off while you're still standing there like a dumbass with the ball in your hand, and the next thing you know, you got no face. Maybe you don't have an eyeball. You know. Jones used to say that he would see if the offensive lineman would turn his head just enough so that he could take his finger and jam it in the guy's ear as far as it would go in. Maybe even try to bust his eardrum. They did this kind of stuff.
No, you're out of your mind, man. That's like a personal foul.
Not back then. It wasn't a personal foul. It wasn't a personal foul. You could put your hands. And the offensive lineman could only block with his arms within his shoulders. You couldn't extend your arms out wider than your shoulders. You had to keep them inside your shoulders, and you had to keep them below the head. So look at that space that you are allowed to keep your hands as an offensive lineman. Meanwhile, you got a defensive end coming in that can slap. You know, Jones was known as the head slap guy. He used to say, he talked about Gale Sayers saying, give me, you know, a few inches, man, just open that line up a few inches, and I'm gone. I am through it, and I'm gone for a touchdown. And Jones used to say, all I need is a half a second. And he got that half a second by slapping the offensive lineman's helmet, what he called a head slap, and that would disorient the guy just long enough for Jones to get by him. Now, I ask you, ladies and gentlemen, with all honesty, I know the quarterbacks weren't as big. I know they weren't as fast. I know they weren't. But in their environment, and of course, Joe Montana didn't play in that environment. He played in his own environment. He played in the environment at a time when the rules were what they were in the 80s and the 70s. And I think by then, by the 80s, the bump and run was reintroduced. They had outlawed the bump and run, I think. They tried to make the zone defense more prevalent. They were trying to slow down the offenses or a little bit in the 70s. The bump and run was outlawed. The zone defense became the default defense, and it just absolutely suffocated. It smothered the passing game. The zone defense was the most boring thing to come along in football, and it suffocated the passing game. But it improved the defenses. I think they got rid of that, and they allowed the bump and run again in the 80s. So you were again back to these stellar defensive backs like Lester Hayes, I'm trying to think of the great ones, Ronnie Lott and guys like that. So I think the only way to judge is the championships. And Montana won 4.
No, man, but they weren't as tough to win back then.
Now, here we go again with that. See, you know?
Yeah, but they weren't, and Brady won 3. That's almost like winning 4 back then.
See, here we go again. You guys didn't hear one thing I said, did you?
What?
What I just said, man. You know, what I'm saying is, while there are bigger players and faster players and better defenses, there's also bigger and faster and better quarterbacks now. So it cancels itself out. You can't say, oh, wow, the defenses are better now. The quarterbacks are better now.
Yeah, so you're saying that Brady's better.
I'm saying Brady is physically a better, more dominating guy than Joe Montana, but I am not saying that Joe Montana faced any less difficult competition. You don't understand what I'm saying. I'm saying that the competition for a Joe Montana in the 1980s was every bit as brutal as it is for Tom Brady today. And as I said to you earlier, there was a time when quarterbacks had to contend with all kinds of stuff that a defense was allowed to do that a guy like Montana and Brady would never... They wouldn't be able to stand in the pocket for... They wouldn't be able to stay in a game, you know?
But you're talking about that one guy that peeled your face off?
Yeah, just for starters. So I have to go with the Super Bowl championships, and I got to go with Joe Montana on that one. Brady's won 3, Montana's won 4. If Brady wins another, I'll say Brady's better than Montana. How's that?
Yeah, that'll only be 4.
I'm saying that I'll give you guys your, you know, I'll go ahead and give you what you are asking for, which is Brady better than Montana? Yes, he is. If he wins 4.
Yeah, okay, if he wins this year, then you got to say it on the radio.
Fine, I don't have any problem with that. I'm just being, I'm just enjoying the conversation. We'll be right back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show with more on our News and Information Hour. Here, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. I actually looked up, because during the break we started to talk about we were just talking about Ed Sprinkle is the name of the guy who did the claw. This guy was he was an animal. You know, and I shouldn't say an animal.
Yeah, he clawed a guy's face clean off.
Well, I don't know if he... I'm saying that that was the effect, you know, the fear. The whole idea was to strike fear into an opponent. And this guy, Ed Sprinkle, who I believe, Dan, was a Chicago Bear. Am I right or am I wrong about it? I think he was a Chicago Bear. Yeah, he was a Chicago Bear at a time when the Bears were, you know, one of the feared teams in the NFL. And the fear that, you know, you'd put into a guy coming into the backfield and just going ahead and peeling his face off, or the, you know. So I said to Dan during the break, and I said to you guys, if you take a guy from the 50s, a quarterback like Norm Van Brocklin, take him when he was 21. You put a 21-year-old Norm Van Brocklin in a professional backfield today with his arm, with his brains, and with his size, he's still going to be really challenged. No question about it. I doubt seriously if he would be anywhere near the legendary stature that he was in the 50s. Maybe, but I think he'd really be tested. I will say this. Norm Van Brocklin had a lot of guts, and he had a lot of... he was a game guy, so you know it would take a lot to discourage him, but he'd be very challenged. Tom Brady in the 50s. Take Tom Brady. Put him in a backfield and have guys coming in on him wearing a helmet without a face mask with their hands out, ready to peel his face off by sticking a finger in a nostril or clawing across his eyeballs. Now, how good is Tom Brady then?
Yeah, but there'd be a penalty.
It wasn't a penalty then, bud.
It wasn't a penalty then, man. That's what he's saying.
That it should have been.
Sure, it should have been. There's a lot of things that should have been, but it wasn't. So that's all I'm saying. Vernon Dozier is a football coach, high school football coach, but he coached briefly at the professional level, Vernon, didn't you, in the USFL?
Yeah, Phil, that's right. I coached for the Portland Breakers for a brief time. That was after they'd come up from New Orleans.
Okay, and you coached the high school level, college level, briefly?
That is correct, yeah.
Did you see this kind of play, this kind of... now, I don't want to talk about players that break the rules necessarily, but this really physical and intimidating kind of play?
Well, I got to be honest with you. I don't think that you intimidate professionals. Professionals are not intimidated by pushing and shoving and putting your finger in somebody's face. That's not what intimidates a professional. That may intimidate the college players or high school. We coach at the high school level now, and I see our guys get a little bit nervous when they come up against somebody's teams, somebody's kids that might get, you know, swagger a little bit. But I tell my players, I said, the best way to intimidate another team is to perform on the field. When you reach the professional level, it's going to take a heck of a lot more than pointing your finger at somebody and, you know, that kind of trash talking. But I will tell you that all of the things you described, whether it's clawing a man's face, whether it is sticking a finger in the ear hole, whether you're trying to slap, whether you're trying to get a shot in, there's all kinds of nasty stuff that goes on. These guys today, Phil, that are lifting weights, they've got all kind of power moves, and some of them are lifting weights to a degree that there's real danger of breaking a man's arm, breaking a man's leg. I've seen guys lose get an arm broken or a wrist broken, when they lock inside.
Are you talking about offensive linemen?
Yeah, I'm talking about, for instance, the line play. When you get an offensive lineman going against a defensive tackle or defensive end, and they get locked up, maybe you've got a defensive end who's trying to do a little bit of a power move where he does a swim motion, you know, where you put your arm over top of the block of the offensive lineman, call it a swimming motion, and push back. Sometimes you get that hand or that wrist locked up. Now, if you have a defensive man's arm or wrist locked up, it's a temptation, and it's not only a temptation, it might even be a wise move to just sort of push your elbow and your shoulder forward until you hear that snap, you know.
And until you hear what snap?
Well, until you hear you hear that man's arm snap. And
oh, good God.
Yeah, but I mean, you see, you're talking about a professional game. You're talking about men who are playing this for a living. You've got a wife and you've got kids to feed, and you've got a house payment to make. So let me ask you a question. If you know that your children eating, your wife eating, a house payment, a car payment is dependent upon you keeping your job, and you've got an offensive, defensive lineman that's going to try to do a swim move over you or some other power move, and you're able to get that elbow down and you get that wrist inside,
and now you've got that arm of his locked up. Are you telling me you're not going to go ahead and push it another couple inches and just hear that snap?
So you're telling me that you're going to break a man's arm on purpose?
I'm telling you, you better believe it. You better believe it. This guy was stupid enough to try a power move on you that a third grader could see coming, this classic swim move. Now, I know five different ways to stop that move, and I know five different ways I can teach my offensive linemen to break that man's arm in two places. The only thing that I tell my kids is this. You've got to gird yourself for the scream. And
Whoa, hold on for a minute. Are you teaching your high school kids this?
Phil, every time I talk to you...
No, you were telling me a moment ago, you were telling me about the professional and gird yourself for the scream.
That's bitching.
Shut up, bud, will you?
Well, it's not bitching, as you call it, Mr. Dyckman, but...
But it's Dyckman.
His last name's Dyckman. Bud, just shut up for a minute, okay?
Yeah, but that's bitching. You hear the snap and the scream.
Yeah, how long does it take?
Well, no, what do you mean, how long does it take? If you see a guy...
Hold on for just a second here. You're talking about high school kids, right?
I'm talking to you about offensive line play, controlling a pass rush. You got a quarterback that may be worth millions. Let me ask you a question, Mr. Hendry.
But I thought we were talking about high school.
Let's forget about that. Were you talking to me about football or not?
Yeah, but I just want to know, are you teaching high school kids this?
Let's forget about that for a moment. Are you talking about football or not?
Yes, sir.
Are you talking about the professional level? I thought that's what you were talking about.
Yes, I was.
All right. If I got an offensive lineman and I got a quarterback that's worth millions of dollars, and if that quarterback gets hurt, guess what? All of a sudden, the owner, when he or she or it comes down to the locker room to talk after the game, to console the team after we've been beaten 58-3, okay, and they don't decide to stop in the coach's office, they just keep walking right on by, and they'd rather talk to some big, huge guy, stark naked, full frontal nudity. They're going to talk to him while he's got all of his business hanging down, and I'm sitting there waiting for them to come in and give me some words of encouragement. They walk right by my office and talk to a guy with his business hitting the floor. Okay? That's humiliating. All right? And the way to avoid that is to protect that quarterback. And the way to protect that quarterback is to neutralize that pass rush. And the way to neutralize the pass rush is to lock that man's arm up. Go ahead and give it that extra couple of inches of pressure. And when you hear the bone snap once, beat, two, three, four, snap again, and then the scream, you've done your job for the afternoon.
Good God Almighty.
Oh, will you stop it?
Yeah, that's the job you got to do.
Yeah, that's professional football, man.
That's exactly right. That's professional football.
And then you hear the scream.
That's right. That's right. Let me tell you something. Because I talked to Lawrence, Lawrence Taylor. You remember when Joe Montana got his leg snapped in that way that they done it on Monday night? See, I used to be a defensive player, so when I saw Montana's leg break, I got to tell you, I felt for the man, but at the same time, I felt there was a certain pride I felt. And
when Joe Montana's leg, that shin breaking, that was the most, oh, God, that was gruesome.
Yeah, it was gruesome, too. But when I saw it, and I talked to Lawrence Taylor, and I said to him, I said, Lawrence, you got to tell me true. I said, did he scream? He said, yeah. He said, he screamed like, he said it was like Tarzan. I said, no kidding. He said, yeah. I said, what do you mean? He said that when Montana's leg broke, he heard, is that right? Hey, Wendy, come on in for a minute. Do we have the tape recording there?
What is this?
This is Lawrence. Do you have that, honey? Yeah. Lawrence Taylor, I had him on the phone, and he did the sound of Joe Theismann when he got his leg broken. Let me put that on for a minute here. Okay. Lawrence Taylor, this is Kirk.
Wait, that one.
What'd it sound like? Did you hear that, Phil? I don't know if you heard that or not.
Yeah, I heard that. Was that Lawrence Taylor?
Yeah, that was Lawrence Taylor on the phone with me. And I said, go ahead, tell me true. He said it was like Tarzan. And I said, no kidding. He said, yeah. I said,
well, you know, I got to ask you something here at this particular juncture, Vernon.
Okay.
You get a kick out of that, don't you?
Well, let me tell you something, Bill.
I don't get a kick out of a man being hurt. I really don't. But when you make your bread and butter as a defensive player, and you know that you've been able to take a quarterback and pretty much stand him up against the wall, you know, it's good. So
that must have been Mr. Dozier pretty good.
I'll tell you, buddy, it was very good for me in my playing days.
Do you have a breaking man up?
I busted up a few guys, yeah. I busted up.
What positions you play?
I played strong safety. And I like to play the run. You know, strong safeties play the pass, they play the run. But I love to play the run. I loved it. I loved it when they came at my side. I loved it because a strong safety sometimes will alternate with free safety. But when they ran at my side, I fell in love with that. I would marry that. I would marry that moment when they ran to my side because I had no problem standing a guy up straight. I'd love it.
You never feared injury?
No. You don't fear injury. No. Here's what you're afraid of. You're afraid you're going to kill somebody. That's what I'd be afraid of, that I was going to kill a man and go to prison for it. You know?
That's so great. Yeah, man, do you have any game film?
I got some game film I can show you guys sometime, yeah.
Okay, Vernon, thanks a lot.
Wow.
What?
What do you mean, what?
That's great. He sounds like he had a great playing career.
He sounds like he's half nuts.
Why does it sound like that?
Jeez, man. Talking about how you want to stand a guy up. You fell in love with the moment that they ran it to your side. And a million other things that he described, and breaking a guy's arm, and that Joe Theismann screamed like Tarzan in the jungle. Oh, my God.
That's what a defensive player lived for.
Yeah, you got that. If you can't take the heat, man, get out of the kitchen.
Oh, well, okay. Thank you very much, both of you, for enlightening me as to the big, bad world of football. We'll be right back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Oh, no. Joe Theismann is hurt.
Now it's time for Iron Swine. The Iron Swine is going to go to the stadium, and they're playing football, and it's Joe Theismann.
Yeah, Iron Swine goes back in time on this issue of, or I mean this episode of Iron Swine.
Hello, Iron Swine office.
Yeah, we're at the football stadium, and I think Lawrence Taylor's going to sack Joe Theismann, and his leg's going to get crooked.
Oh, you mean they're going to snap on a shin?
Yeah, I think so.
Hey, Iron Swine, man, you better get over there and get Joe Theismann's leg straight.
On my way. And Iron Swine goes to the stadium right at the time when Lawrence Taylor snaps the leg. And Joe Theismann is in such pain, this way sound like... Where's Jane?
Iron Swine, man, straighten out Joe Theismann's leg.
Because that's what Joe Theismann sounds like.
Yeah.
So, okay, Joe, hold on, buddy. This way I'll straighten out your leg and you'll be able to do all them commercials with Kathy Lee Gifford or whatever her name is. Here we go. You ready, Joe?
Yeah, I'm ready. Yeah!
And he straightened his leg out. Yay, Iron Swine. Yay. And years later, Joe Theismann is doing, like, Coleman Cooler commercials and stuff. Isn't that what he does?
Yeah.
This edition of Iron Swine brought to you by Coleman Coolers. Here's Joe Theismann. They're good. What?
The most ridiculous Iron Swine I think I've ever... Yeah, Iron Swine went back in history, huh?
Yeah, went back in time, man.
Went back in time and straightened out Joe Theismann's leg.
And he's in such pain he sounds like... who was it?
Tarzan.
Tarzan. All right, let's not make any more. I guess you can make fun, as they say, that comedy plus pain equals time. What the hell is it?
Yeah, comedy equals pain plus comedy.
Yeah.
Comedy equals pain plus comedy. No, it isn't. It's comedy is pain plus time, or tragedy plus time.
Is that it?
I think that's what it is, yeah. So in the case of Joe Theismann, that was a horrible thing that happened to him, but it's now well over 20 years ago. And who was the guy that was on The Real People, or what the hell was that show? There was a show on called That's Incredible. Anybody remember that show?
Yeah, I remember. I'd seen that in rerun.
Who was the guy on that show?
That's Joe Theismann.
No, it was not Joe Theismann. Fran Tarkenton. Fran Tarkenton, that's who it was.
Who's he?
He was a quarterback, man.
Yeah, he's the quarterback that they wanted to kill.
Who wanted to kill?
You said they wanted to kill him.
Well, Fran, what I said was, Fran Tarkenton was one of the original scrambling quarterbacks. And he scrambled about as well as anybody ever scrambled. Even to this day, I don't think I've ever seen a quarterback scramble like Fran Tarkenton. Always scrambling just enough so that a receiver would get open and he would wind up hitting him. And Fran Tarkenton was one of the most brilliant at this kind of thing. But I remember a couple of defensive linemen were interviewed. One of them was Merlin Olsen. I don't know, Mean Joe Green, cats like that. And they were saying, oh, God, we wanted to hurt him. Because, you know,
why do I want to hurt him?
Well, when you got this squirrely little guy, this squirrely little cat that's running around and you can't quite get him, God, all you want to do now is pound him into the dust, you know?
Yeah, that had pissed me off.
Yeah, so they were saying, man, that guy was so hard to catch, like a greased pig, that when we finally did catch him, sometimes the temptation was to just dish out a little extra punishment. I don't know what that meant, you know? You get him down in a pile and just start wailing on him.
Probably like kick him in the you-know-what.
I don't know, but the reason why I brought all that bull crap up is because those two guys, for some reason, they get confused in my mind because they were both on TV shows, weren't they?
Yeah, it's, you know, Fran Tarkenton, man.
No, Joe Theismann does Coolman Coolers.
Coolman? You mean Coleman?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, but I thought there was a TV show. Who did Real People, man? Remember that?
Yeah, I remember Real People. That was,
That wasn't no quarterback or nothing.
They didn't have a quarterback on that show?
I don't think so.
I thought they had like an athlete or something. Well, maybe they didn't. But that's incredible. Yeah, that was Fran Tarkenton. That was the quarterback. I thought Joe Theismann did something.
No, Joe Theismann married like a lady that was on the show like that.
Yeah, Kathy Lee Crosby, I thought, is who he married. I don't know. Who the hell? What do I know? Forget it, man. So anyway, but those are two guys there. Theismann especially and Tarkenton. They went on to become pretty... you know, colorful guys, man. They had careers beyond the gridiron as television personalities. When I was in England, I was in London, and I was watching TV one morning, and they have a show in London called Good Morning Britain. I guess it's a national show for the whole...
Yeah, it's like Good Morning America?
Yes, except it's called Good Morning Britain.
But it's like Good Morning America.
Yes, it's exactly like Good... Well, it's not exact. It's like Good Morning America. It's Good Morning Britain.
Yeah, but it's about Britain.
Yes, bud.
Don't you get it, man? It's called Good Morning Britain. What do you think it's going to be about?
Yeah, but I'm just saying, it's like Good Morning America.
Good Morning America?
Yeah.
Good Morning America. And it was like Good Morning America. So anyway, their weather guy on Good Morning Britain was Jimmy something or other. This guy used to be a soccer player.
Yeah, you like a Fran Tarkenton or something?
Yeah, you know, he's a former athlete, and now he was a former big... a soccer star, what they call football over there, which quite frankly makes more sense because our game of football has nothing to do with the foot except for kickoffs, punts, and field goals. But anyway,
there is Joe Theismann there with superbeta.com. It's about keeping your penis erect.
Will you shut up? Yeah, Joe Theismann's doing, so he's doing commercials for male erection.
No, man, it's about the prostate having to get up in the middle of the night and go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
That's great. Thanks a lot, Joe. I feel so young. Anyway, Theismann's about my age, too.
Really?
Yeah, he's about my age. I think Joe Theismann was graduated about when I would have graduated, had I graduated, which I didn't graduate. Okay, so that's... I don't want to talk about any of this stuff anymore, you know.
Tell everybody about the game.
All right, I'll tell them. Folks, don't forget our podcast has dropped, episode 37 of the Free Phil Hendry podcast. You can access it by way of our own website there at philhendryshow.com by going to the podcast by the podcast banner or go to iTunes. Also on Monday, it is the Milwaukee Lions versus the New York Pets game time at 1 p.m. on Central Daylight Time, yeah. And the Wang radio call will be on our Phil TV in HD on our website. Also, on Tuesday, it is the ever so best of Bobby Dooley, and that will be a new offering of downloads in the shop at philhenryshow.com. So some fun stuff ahead for yous. And until tonight, let that be a lesson to you. Woo!
Phil Hendry.